Power phase is locked and ready to fire, sir.
Authorization required.
Hi folks, and welcome to the sixth episode of Decade, a dedicated Star Trek Online podcast on the Trek FM network. In this episode, we have the latest Ask Cryptic account box unavailable for silver players, lifetime subscription sale, Tom will tell us all about the Klingon ships, and we also have an interview with Brandon from Perfect World. As usual, here to help me is Tom. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening.
How are you? Apart from breaking Warp 10 to get on the podcast.
Just come in and put my... still got my shoes on, actually, so... sat down with the laptop and recording.
Recording, yeah. So if he starts making funny noises, folks, it's because he's turning into a salamander.
Yeah.
And his tongue's dropping out.
Yeah. Had to rake Warp 10 just to get it.
Yeah. So, but you know, you have the added advantage that you have now been in all places at all times.
Yeah.
So you can tell what's going to happen at the end.
Oh, yeah, I know who's secretly a Star Trek London. Because I've been there.
Oh, Caddy. That's cool. We'll talk about that off air.
Yeah.
Dude, don't want to give any spoilers away.
No.
Because I want to get Star Trek London back on the other podcast. So if you tell them what's going to happen in the future, they won't be happy with us.
No.
But later in the show, folks, as I said, we've got an interview with Brandon, who works for Perfect World, stroke, Cryptic, and he's going to answer a few questions for us. Tom's going to tell you all you need to know about Klingon commander ships, which is the first ship that you roll when you roll your first Klingon, because that's the rank you start at.
Yeah. I'd like to warn you now, my Klingon isn't the best.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It can't be any worse than mine. I do like the way that some of the ship designers have got the names, so some of them are unpronounceable. So, but you know, you'll muddle through. And we're not, at the end of the day, all you can say is this is the one that's got a really big engine and looks mean.
Yeah.
Which most of them do anyway. It's apart from the, is it the Orion one? Yeah, it is the Orion ones.
Yeah.
They're just huge. To say the least. So, we'll start with our first story.
Okay, for a limited time, if you subscribe for 3 months of gold membership, you'll only pay for 2 months. So, you buy two, you get one free. A 33% discount, down to just $30 or £25. That's just $10 or £7 a month. For all the perks of being a gold member. Gold members get a number of benefits, including everything listed under the gold members column on the free-to-play features matrix. Gold members also get a monthly Cryptic Store stipend of 500 Zen, half the value of the monthly subscription. That's enough to completely cover a pack of duty officers or many other items. This 3 month discount will only last for a limited time. Subscribe now and get all the benefits in Star Trek Online. And if you want to know all the main benefits, you can listen to one of our early episodes of the podcast and we go through all the features of gold members and the titles to gold or not to gold.
There you go.
Yeah.
Which makes no difference to me and you because we're lifers.
Yeah.
But if you wasn't a lifer, would you do this for 3 months?
Probably, yeah. I think so, because you get loads of goodies. So.
Yeah. Because previously, for those listeners that don't know, the monthly subscription was basically $15 a month, which was also £15 a month. So we was actually paying more. So this is the equivalent of that what with the 3 months. So basically to say, look, this is a taster, this is what you get if you go gold. If you like it, buy the lifetime. And like it's 500 Zen. That's, what's that, $5? It's about £7.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you get that as well. I mean, you can always do it by try before you buy, as they say.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of benefits, like Tom said. If you go back and listen to the old episode, there is some benefits to gold over silver. And also you get the, if you do decide to buy this lifetime sub, you get all the vet rewards. And we're closing rapidly on 1,000, which is, the time's just flew by.
Yeah.
Can't believe we're on 900 already.
Same here.
So, see, now I don't know. I mean, what pet do you use? Do you use the Magato?
The pet?
Yeah.
I've got two.
No, I mean, which one do you use? Do you use the Magato or do you use the Salak?
I've got both of them.
So you have...
But I just use the Sailor.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
I need 5 more Lobi crystals and I can get the Arachnid.
I might have get that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, because I got the sword. I got the sword yesterday. On my Klingon.
I've got the sword, yeah.
Yeah, I got the sword yesterday on my Klingon. And it's a mean weapon.
Is it better than the Batleth, is it?
Well, I was wading into Undine on Colony Invasion. And it was cutting them to pieces. So it's on a par with a decent Batleth, a purple Batleth. It would be about the same level of damage. But the thing about the sword is someone shoots you, then it's like the lightsaber in Star Wars. It deflects damage. It's a nice little thing.
Has its perks.
Yeah. But I've also got the Nanopulse Batleth, which is extremely deadly, especially in the tactical officer's hands.
Yeah. Shame I missed that at Christmas.
I know. Well, maybe they'll do it again.
Yeah, maybe.
It, but, well, they did it because Star Wars came out, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, you never know. Right, next story. Silver players can now buy an account-wide bank that up till now was only available to gold players. Now, the account-wide bank enables you to deposit items that can be retrieved by any character on your account with ease. So you have multiple toons, then it makes it easier to move things around among them. The cost of this is 1,000 Zen, which is a lot. But saying that, I do use my account-wide bank because I've got a lot of toons.
Yeah, and I use it as well.
Yeah,
because it makes life a lot easier.
It does. If you can get the Azura, if you've got the Azura thing from the Azura mission, so you can summon the Azura, and you can jump onto different tunes and say, I need this weapon, but I know that's on this character. So you jump onto that character, get that, put it in the Azura. Summon the Azura, put it in the account box, jump onto the other character and take it back out.
Yeah.
And it's also an extra storage.
Yeah, because you can also transfer energy credits as well.
Yeah. The only thing, I just wish you could transfer Lobi.
Can you do it with the other thing as well?
No, you can't. Lobi's bound. You can't transfer Lobi at all.
No one about the other thing.
No, Dilithium's bound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just energy credits. But yeah, see, I use it. Tom uses it. So, it is worth it. Whether or not you'll see it as worth it if you're a silver player, though. 1,000 Zen.
If I was a silver, probably not, because if... I probably wouldn't have that many tunes, to be honest, but if I was silver...
Because you've got to buy the slots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing as well is if you can mail stuff from tune to tune. So, you know, there is that option as well if you was a silver. But the account bank does come in handy. I mean, I use it a lot. I've been using it to send EV suits to all my different characters so they can go and fight Thalians.
Yeah, I've actually upgraded my EV suit now.
What you got now, a blue one?
It's black. It dropped on the floor somewhere during a mission.
So you just all have that?
Yeah. Better than my pre-owned one from a Ferengi anyway.
Yeah, the one that may or may not have holes in it.
Yeah, sold it back to him.
Right, next up, Tom is going to give us a rundown on Klingon commander ships.
Now we are going to be talking about the ships for the Klingon Empire. Now, for you KDF players out there that have just started playing Klingon, after you've reached level 25, which is commander on your Federation character, you would have had the chance to create a new toon or character and play the Klingon faction. Klingons are quite fun to play as because you get quite a few bits of perks when you're playing. And the first level that you can upgrade to is Commander for the Klingon Empire. And I'm going to be telling you now the types of ships you can get at that level. They are mainly split into three different categories, which are Raiders, Raptors, and Battlecruisers. There is also a fourth type, which are called Warships, but these can only be accessed if you spend 1,000 Zen on each of the ships in the in-game store. So, you've got to spend a bit of money, but money is tight, so we're just going to go through the standard ships for the Klingon Empire. Okay, let's start off with the Raiders. Now, the Raiders are basically the Bird of Prey. Every Trek fan knows that the Bird of Prey is a very popular ship. On this set, it is called the Noor Bird of Prey, and I hope I've pronounced that right. Unlike the little escorts of the Klingon Empire. They don't have much hull at all. They've got 16,000 hull, which is the lowest type of ship hull for this tier. So you'll need to upgrade the standard shields, which are 2,980. For a better spec. They have a crew complement of 25. It's got a bridge officer slots, there's four of them, which they're universal slots, so you can mix and match the different types of tactical engineering and science officers that you've got. Also has two device slots, so you can just put two devices in there. There's two. You've got five console slots on here, which you've got two tactical, two engineering, and one science. So, it also has a battle cloak, so it gives you a bonus plus 15% when you decloak. So, it's a little bonus 15 to power for weapons. Pretty good. You've got standard configuration on these, which is a standard one, which you've got 3-4 weapons, and you've got two aft weapons as well. And your four weapons, you've got a dual disruptor beam bank, dual cannons, and photon torpedo launcher. And on the aft weapons, you've got a photon torpedo launcher and a disruptor turret. So that's basically it for the Raiders, or the Bird of Prey. And now let's go on to the Raptor types. Now the Raptors are basically, well, you could find them as tactical escorts. Similar again, but a bit bigger. Well, the types you've got is the Khor Raptor. I hope I've pronounced that right as well, because my Klingon is not that good. sounds silly if I tried to sing it in my British English accent. And you've got a crew complement 225. And you've got a 22,000 hull, so it will last long in a firefight. Other than the Bird of Prey, which is considerably less. It's got a standard shield of 3,104. It's pretty substantial, but you can upgrade them at later date. Has four bridge officer slots, so you've got two tactical, one engineering, and one science, two device slots, five console slots, so you've got three tactical, one engineering, and one science. It also has the cloak ability as well, so, and again, it gives you a 15% bonus damage as well when decloaking like the other. It has three fore weapons and two aft weapons, so it's exactly the same configuration as the Bird of Prey. Okay, now we're going to go into the battle cruisers, which are the big cheese of this tier. Now it is the Katinga battle cruiser. I hope I've pronounced that right as well. And it is actually a updated version, more or less, of the classic D7 class encountered firstly by Starfleet in the 21st century. No, the 23rd century. 21st century is now. Just look out my window. Nope, no Klingons. That's good. Not ready. And yeah, the D7 is the classic 23rd century ship that you can see in the original series, the movies, and also in the Next Generation as well, and the other series, but not as common. You've got 24,000 hull, so you got the highest hull on this tier, so lasts the longest in the firefight, and also has 3,725 shields as standard, so again, good shield capacity, but you can always upgrade those. It has a crew of 800, it has four slots again for the bridge officers, which you've got one tactical, two engineer, and one science, three device slots, five console slots, as I'm looking here, two tactical, two engineering, and one science. That's a cloak as well, same as the others, and still the plus 15 damage bonus as well. And it also has six weapon slots, so you've got four weapons and two aft weapons, which are, four weapons are a disruptor beam array, photon torpedo launcher, dual cannons, and a dual disruptor beam. And on the aft weapons you've got photon torpedo launcher and a disruptor beam array as well. Okay, that's it, I think. Yeah, that's it. Okay, those have been the actual classes and variants of the actual Klingon Empire. Not much, but I've covered pretty much all the basics. And I have to say, use the cloak wisely. Yeah. Don't do what I've seen other people doing, is decloaking directly in front of the enemy and getting blown up straight away. It does happen if you're in the little Bird of Prey. So, try to take the advantage and use the cloak to go around the enemy and attack him from a flanking point. Or, if you're in a team, get your team, you're against one enemy, to make a circle around the enemy and decloak all at the same time. Have a little countdown from 10 or something, and then fire everything you got. It is effective. I've tried it before, and it's a lot of fun as well. So, And yep, those have been the actual ships for this Klingon Commander tier. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it whilst drinking some blood wine. I hope you haven't drank too much. Humans don't like it as much, but it's a good drink. And all I've got left to say for you KDF players is Kapla!
Sir, we are being hailed.
Open hailing frequencies.
Okay, there are many ways you can contact us. You can contact us by email, which we are deck8sto@gmail.com, and that is deck8sto@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter. We are deck_8 on Twitter, so send us a subspace communique via that, and we'll be happy to answer any questions or feedback you have about our show. Or you can leave a comment on the show pages of the actual podcast at trek.fm/D8.
Fascinating.
Graduation ceremony will commence at 1200 hours. Attendee, please confirm you have cleared for departure.
You are part of an enduring tradition. For over 200 years, men and women have served with honor, courage, and wisdom. Our first duty has always been to the truth, the guiding principle that defines us. From the stars, knowledge. To wear this uniform is to continue a most noble mission.
Welcome aboard, Lieutenant.
To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no one has gone before. In this dark hour, you must shine. You must light the way for the lost and oppressed. The final frontier awaits. And though you sail a ship upon a sea in storm, you wear the uniform. You carry the tradition. Valor and sacrifice are your watchwords. Whatever comes, whatever finds you, stand tall, hold fast. You are a Starfleet officer.
Lieutenant Yoshi, alert Starfleet. We have engaged the Borg.
We are the Borg. Resistance is futile.
Right, folks, as promised, from Perfect World to Stroke Cryptic, I am pleased to introduce Brandon. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing? So happy to be here.
Yes, thanks for being our first dev, and it's only episode 5, so I'm really pleased.
Oh, my pleasure. The show's going great. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, and we'd also like to express thanks to Perfect World for putting us on the Star Trek Online forums and spreading the word about us. We greatly appreciate that.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
So how was Vegas then?
Oh, man. Well, normally what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but this was just too fun not to talk about. So Star Trek Online was in Vegas all 4 days. We got there on Thursday, and the first thing we did was head to the vendor's room. And the vendor's room was amazing this year, not only because there were so many of the normal people who are there with their booth set up, but Trek Radio and Geek Nation Tours had two booths side by side. And the Trek Radio booth was also the podcast row. So we had a bunch of podcasts there supporting STO. They were doing interviews with different celebrities, different people around the convention, and it was an amazing booth. They had a TV hooked up as well as a projector. So they were projecting the game, playing, showing off different things. And we were giving out flyers there, information cards about STO. And attendees also got a special duty officer. It was a Hololita duty officer. She's a rare entertainer. I don't remember her traits off the top top of my head, but and a special title for all their characters, which is convention veteran. And so we had a lot of interest in people like, wow, I didn't know Star Trek Online was free to play now, and I want to play this, and wow, it looks amazing on the screen, and it was just a really great time. So Thursday was really just setting up the booth and hanging out there. Same with Friday. Of course, there were celebrities on the stage all the time. And Saturday was our big day. So Saturday we had the developer panel, which was at 11 o'clock in the morning. And that was phenomenal. We had a great turnout. There were a few hundred people in the audience, people who've played the game, people who haven't heard about the game, people who want to play the game. So it was a great mix. They did a survey by show of hands. And a Trek Radio actually got high-definition video recording of it. So it should be up by the time this show goes live and linked on the website. So you can go to StarTrekOnline.com, watch the video. But the best moment from that panel, not only seeing all the fans in the audience, but Dan Stahl, Jesse Heinig, and Thomas Maroney behind stage. We were backstage, the four of us, and all of a sudden we saw everything went dark out front, and lights went out, and the free-to-play trailer started playing, and the roar of applause and screams was amazing. It gave me chills. Brilliant. And we all just looked at each other, and we got the biggest smiles on our face. And then we got introduced one by one by Tara Lynn and Lisa. And we're answering preset questions, what each of our roles are, and then, what we're most proud of. We did some season 7 sneak peeks. We had some screenshots, one piece of concept art, and then 3 in-game screenshots of season 7 content. That, we'll post those up as the Friday screenshots for everyone to see on Friday.
Oh, great.
So look out for those. And then we took audience questions, and we had some great questions come in. So definitely check out the video for the full hour panel interview. You don't want to miss it. Some great stuff on there. And then later that evening, we had Hangin' with the Devs, which was sponsored by Massively, Trek Radio, Subspace Radio, and Priority One. And we were just hanging out. We had a few dozen fans come by and just hanging out, took some pictures, answered questions, got some great feedback, got some great ideas. I think we'll even see some ideas from the players that we got show up in-game at some point. So it was a really great time overall. And then Sunday, kind of same thing at the booth. I know we all really wanted to see the captain's panel on Sunday, which we had the 4 captains on there, minus Patrick Stewart,
yeah,
since he was over in England. But Scott Bakula, Kate Mulgrew, Avery Brooks, and William Shatner. That was awesome. We had a really good time, ate a lot of food, did some dancing. They had a special party one night at one of the dance clubs inside the Rio Hotel. It was really awesome. Big shout out to Creation Entertainment for all the support and having us do the panel. It was unbelievable, and we really look forward to next year. And I hope more people can make it out.
Yeah, I did. I was watching the Twitter page coming in from yourself and Tara Lynn and people like that, and I was just thinking, God, I'd love to have been there.
Yeah, it was incredible. So, so here's to many more.
Yeah, but that's the second Diamond with the Devs now, isn't it?
Yeah, so the first one was, well, actually the third. So I hosted the first two back when I was working for Massively, and I did Priority One. It was Priority Ones, and then I was doing Massively at the time as well. First one was actually at San Diego Comic-Con 2011, and then the second one was in Vegas. So this was the third one. It wasn't dining, which was really nice. It was at the iBar. So it was kind of drop in, drop out, which was really nice because it was casual. You didn't have to worry about not being able to hear people and just, talk to the different devs and things like that. It worked out really well.
Yeah, a lot more relaxed.
Yeah, Tara Lynn did a great job, as well as Lisa from Trek Radio and then Priority One Podcast. They had everyone there, unfortunately, but except for Alex, who's in the UK. And and also Subspace Radio. There was a great turnout from Subspace Radio as well.
Yeah. Tara Lynn seemed to be doing everything.
Tara Lynn and Lisa.
Yeah. Both, I don't know how they managed to fit it all in. I really don't.
Yeah, they did amazing. Very, very proud of how it turned out. It couldn't have gone any better. It was perfect.
Yeah. Hats off to all involved.
Definitely.
I'm still jealous.
But you can say this, Colin. Vegas had 4 captains, we've got 5.
Vegas had Star Trek Online.
Yeah.
So.
London, who knows? Again, we're
Patrick was watching the Olympics.
Yeah, it's not crunch time yet, so we still got time. And there's no plans as of right now, but that doesn't mean it can't change. So we'll see.
But Patrick Stewart was busy carrying the Olympic torch.
Yeah. Right. Brent Spiner was making fun of him up on stage for not being there. It was pretty funny.
I've seen him on YouTube, Brent Spiner. He's absolutely brilliant at conventions.
His ego is as big as the convention.
Yeah, probably give William Shatner room for his money.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Very much so. It was pretty funny.
But that's great. I'm really pleased it all went really well and everyone had a really good time.
Yep, definitely.
And the fans got to meet the people behind the games. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool. The fans were excited to meet us. We were excited to meet, like, Denise and Michael Okuda. They were excited to meet, you know, the people they worked with. It's so funny how that works out. And I really enjoyed meeting every single player there. And they gave, you know, they were so courteous and they were constructive and asked some great questions, gave some great ideas. So really looking forward to things. One of them for me that really pertained to me was a new challenge for the forums. But so I'll let you know about it because I'm going to release it tomorrow. You know how we do the literary challenge and then have the founder challenge. I'm going to start a fan art challenge. And this was an idea given by a group at the Hanging with the Devs. And it was an amazing idea. We're going to do different art challenges. So I'll say, you know, the first one will probably be of your captain. So share fan art of your captain and people can use whatever they want. They can do sketch. They can use PC rendering. They can use watercolor, whatever they want to do to share. So that will be a monthly thing. To kind of, you know, we've got the literary side and I want to get the art side too.
That's a brilliant idea.
It's going to be really cool. So. Yeah.
People can interpret their offices in whatever format they see fit.
Exactly. So we're going to start off with captain and then we'll probably do crew, ship, bridge, home planet, alien species, things like that. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be ongoing. So I'm excited for it.
Didn't you tweet something about that earlier?
Yeah, I tweeted that it was going to be. I'm going to start a new challenge, but by the time this show's released, it's going to be out. So everyone will know about it.
Yeah.
You guys get a little sneak peek since we're recording a few days before it comes out.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's our first sneak.
Yeah.
And if you do come to London, bring the later hologram with you.
All right.
We definitely will. Would like that.
Yeah, I'd love that on my Duffs.
Yeah. That's something that we would bring to any convention we go to. So. Yeah.
That's it then. I'm going to write, as soon as we get off here, I'm going to write to Star Trek London. And say, you have to bring Star Trek Online in because I need this.
Hey, we would love to. So.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. I'll keep an eye on Exchange.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah. I'll get it.
Or our next lifetime reward.
No, next one's 1,000 in it, so that's already agreed. And that's the last one, so.
It's the last one as of right now. So, you know, we may look at other things to reward veterans, you know, where it doesn't have to be on a daily mark or things like that. So we'll see.
Ooh, that's another inside thing then.
Well, I mean, there's nothing firm, solidified plan right now. I'd love to be able to share if we did. But, you know, we realize that, you know, 1,000 days is an amazing mark, but so is 1,100 and so is 2,000 and so on and so on. And, you know, we were joking about it on the panel, but Star Trek Online is going to be the first Star Trek part of the franchise to make it to season 8. So, and beyond. Well beyond.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
You could have gone up to Scott Bakula and says, we've actually been running longer than you have.
Hey, William Shatner as well. Although, you know, that's been in replays for forever. So.
Yeah. That's quite cool. I'm looking forward to it. Can you share anything about season 7 or?
So you'll hear quite a bit on the panel, but the thing I really got to talk about and let everyone know and a little sneak peek is things are going to take place in the Azure Nebula. So it's going to be a new sector that's added to the game. The Tholians will definitely be involved. So will a couple other key factions out there. So look forward to that. A lot of story content. But one of the things that I got to share, which I thought was really cool, was that your next fleet holding, you know, we're building star bases right now. The next fleet holding you'll build is an embassy, and it will be on a colony. And I won't say whose colony it is, but it's going to be really cool. And I think players are really going to enjoy what we're going to do with season 7. So,
fleet embassy.
Yeah, you'll have a fleet embassy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got two ambassadors and all. Oh, that's going to be brilliant. Will it be the same type of thing where you fleet marks and that to build it up, or?
Yeah, so you'll be donating. There'll be projects to build. Maybe it won't be. Maybe you'll build certain things, but it's more to. It's going to be more of. I don't know the exact specifics, but you'll be building the embassy and probably. Gaining reputation in some way or some form. Dan was talking a little bit about it in the Ask Cryptic. So more details as they come, but that's kind of like a sneak peek at one of the new things with season 7. And it's tons of stuff coming.
I'm definitely watching that video on Friday now.
Yes, definitely. Yes, you must.
Definitely. Right. Well, Brandon's here, folks, to answer some questions that some of you have tweeted or DM'd or whatever. And we've compiled a list and we've got 16 questions. So I suppose we better get started.
Yeah.
Some people are a bit upset in relation to the cost of Starbase ships. Some complain that it's not account-wide, whilst others are complaining it isn't expensive as a sea store ship. What would you say to alleviate these people's displeasure?
Well, first things first, we're always looking at feedback, and obviously this is the first time that we've really done something like this. So we're definitely watching out for feedback. And the reason it's set up the way it is right now is because your character in their fleet is, in the fleet that it is, and it has its own fleet credits. Whereas maybe one of your alts may not be in that same fleet. Maybe they're in the alt fleet of the main fleet that you're in, or a completely different fleet altogether, and they earn their own fleet credits. So the fleet ships are meant to be per character, and they do require fleet ship modules. Now, in terms of being, expensive, they're $20 for most of them, unless you have a discount, which I'll get into in a second, which are, about the same price as a sea store ship, if not, $5 cheaper, because some of them are $25, unless, the Odyssey bundle's $50. It is per character. And the fleet ship modules are tradable. So what's nice is you can get them off the exchange. Of course, you can use the dilithium exchange, so you don't have to pay for them. You can play to win them, or, play to purchase them. And then you get a discount. So we've had a lot of players who have purchased, the tier 5 versions of the ships before. So, for example, like the Galaxy Refit or the Multivector Assault Mode Prometheus. So if you purchase those, you still can get the fleet ship, but for only one fleet module, which would be $5. And the reason that is because we have a lot of players who maybe want the console, and they want to be able to switch that console into that fleet ship. And the fleet ships don't come with consoles. They come with an extra console slot, like a modification like Tactical Engineering or Science. So they have 10 console slots, but in terms of the actual special power console, you need that from the sea store ship. So if you buy that, that unlocks for all your characters, and then for each character you want that that fleet ship on, it's only one fleet ship module. And again, you can find them on the exchange, or use your dilithium in the Zen, the dilithium exchange, and get Zen for it.
Yeah, and some people are actually selling them on the exchange for cheaper than it used to buy them with Zen.
Yeah, look out for that. I know a lot of fleets are running contests too. Like, they're like, come out to this event, and if you win, we'll give you a fleet ship module and things like that. So, yeah. Again, we are always looking at feedback, and we'll take that in consideration as things progress. So
will there be more? Obviously, they've recently posted details about the regions, but is there more sea store ships coming?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Something in Vegas we officially announced, and in the Ask Cryptic, the Vesta class, where we have a deal with Mark Redemaker. We're getting
that sorted.
Yeah. So that's solidified.
That's
you'll
brilliant.
See the Vesta Dan talked about during the panel as a season 7 ship. I'm pretty sure that will be a sea store ship, but you'll see things added to the sea store often. So.
Oh, really? Oh, wow! I know what I'm buying.
Yeah.
That is an awesome ship and all.
So. Yeah, Dan also talked about on the panel about Andor. Someone asked a question about Andorian specific content, and he kind of revealed that Andorian ships are in the works as well.
Oh, that'll keep a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
Priority one's going to be over the moon that the Vestas coming.
Yeah.
Because Elijah's a massive fan of that ship.
James, sorry.
Yeah,
I mean Elijah too, but James is the big fan of the Vesta.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. More details about it as we get closer to its release. So,
Right. See? All their hard work and priority ones paid off.
Yeah.
Pat on the back, guys.
Any clue chance we can get a bridge pack for a amendment for the Aatrox carrier? The standard bridge the ship comes with pales in comparison to the new flagship bridges.
So we're always looking at, you know, things like that. We haven't done a bridge pack in a while, but it would be definitely something really cool to do, and I'd definitely pass that feedback along. There's no plans as of right now, but something else talked about in Vegas by Dan was that we're looking at increasing the team size dramatically, and that, you know, that's a lot of that will go towards new seasons and things like that. But of course, there'll be team members, you know, taking a look at what's out there right now, you know, revamping things, bug fixes and things like that. But this is one of those things that, you know, with an MMO, it never ends. So who knows what the future is going to hold. But, you know, that's something you could definitely possibly see in the future. There are no plans right now, but I will pass that idea along because I think that'd be interesting. And whatever artist gets to make it, would be a pretty interesting experience because there's nothing, we've never seen a Cation bridge before, let alone a Cation ship, pretty much. Yeah. So, it would give them free reign, kind of like with Tumor Boy, with, you know, he made the Tholian bridge. And that bridge is phenomenal. Yeah, so it would be interesting to see how they go. I want to see if there's any scratching posts.
Or kissy litter in the corner.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah. But yeah, the Tholian bridge is phenomenal.
Yeah,
I love that bridge. The way the way all the consoles come out the floor and everything.
Yep.
Lovely design. So, yeah,
no plans as of right now for the Aatrox, but that doesn't mean it won't happen in the future. But, you know, we if you think of game development as a bucket of coins, and then there's other buckets for what we're going to develop, you know, we need to make sure we put coins in new content, new coins in revamping things that we've already put out, or, you know, a foundry. So there's only so many coins technically that can be spent, but that doesn't mean that those coins can't, you know, be put into a bucket like this later. So,
yeah, never say never.
Exactly. Definitely never say never.
So you mentioned about expanding. You said Dan was on about making the teams bigger.
Yeah. So, I mean, our team has doubled the size of it was, you know, starting out and for the last little bit. And then, you know, we're looking at increasing the team size even bigger than that. So, you know, when we talk about season 7 being bigger than season 6 and then season 8 being bigger than season 7, that's due to the team size. We have more people, so more stuff can be put out. So,
oh, so there you go, folks. If you fancy working for Perfect World, / Cryptic, they're hiring.
Yeah, we do have tons of open positions right now at crypticstudios.com/openings. So watch for that and then bookmark it and check back often because with the team increasing, we're going to have all kinds of positions. So.
There you go. So how are people reacting to the Tholian missions now that they've been out for a while?
They love them. I think they're really happy that they're open 24/7. We just updated the Defera missions to be 24/7. And we've even updated the new car missions so that you can get fleet marks anytime now and get bonuses during the fleet mark event. So it's no more you couldn't get fleet marks in the past. They were limited to just doing it during the event, but that's been updated, as well as fleet marks added to Defera. So I think players are loving them. It's a great zone. There's some awesome missions on there, some that are, you know, easy to medium, that hard, you know, take a little bit of work. But I think overall they're really, really awesome missions. I know I have a great time going there with my fleet and collecting fleet marks from it.
Yeah, I love them. I got to admit, I do love them. So it's the prison one. When you got to free the prisoners, and then you got the trap red shirts, and it's—I mean—you could just spend all day just doing like the 8 missions over and over and over.
Yeah, we did add a cooldown to them to stop some exploiting that was going on with fleet marks.
It's only a short cooldown, isn't it? It's only like 10 minutes, isn't it?
Well, the cooldown starts from when you pick it up. So it depends on what it is. I think the hard missions are 20 hour or 24 hour. Medium are an hour, and then easier 30 minute, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that would explain it then, because I did an easy yesterday, and by the time I'd done it, the cooldown was only 10 minutes.
Yeah, because the good thing is it starts when you pick it up.
So. Yeah. Right. That's good.
Yeah.
Having addressed people's concern in relation to the boxes and lobby, do you have any plans to make lobby more readily available in-game, like the lithium?
So we're always looking at ways that we can offer low buy-in game other than lock boxes or when we ran that duty officer pack promotion. We did it with the featured episode rerun. So now that we have that kind of tech in there, expect things in the future that should allow you to do that. But as far as being readily available like dilithium, you know, probably not. I wouldn't expect, you know, to be able to go and do dailies to get low buy or anything like that at this point. But look for like special events where low buy has been added or the episode reruns. I think we'd like to do those again and do them every once in a while to offer that. And then we're always looking at low buy feedback. So like, you know, the minimum low buy that you get out of this lockbox is 4. And I've seen people getting 100. Out of some of their boxes that they open. So, you know, we're always looking for that feedback and we'll put it to use accordingly.
Yeah. But yeah, I opened a lockbox yesterday and got 50 Lobby Crystals and spent it on the sword.
Yeah.
So I was, as soon as I opened it and I got the 50, I thought, well, I know where I'm going. So I want to get the Arachnid now, though.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And there's, you know, there's not just one, there's a few different varieties.
Yeah. They're just, I seen one the other day on Earth Space Dock. And I thought, yes, okay, I want one of them.
Yeah.
So, sticking with the Lobby, is there any more items going to be added to the Lobby store or the Sea store beyond ships?
Yeah, I mean, so we're always looking at different things to add. Like for this most recent lockbox, we removed all the consumables from the lockbox and put them into the Lobby store, which is awesome because, you know, the combo batteries are really helpful, especially if you're using a couple different kind of batteries, free up some of your equipment slots on your ships. But we're always looking for new and exciting things we can add to not only the Sea store, but the Lobby store. You know, we've got some weapons in there, some clothing and things like that. So I think we're going to be continuing on that kind of trend and adding new things.
As we stated in our third podcast, we'd like to thank the team for the TNG anniversary gift. Is there any other anniversary celebrations planned?
So I think we're always looking to kind of tie in SCO with the Trek universe. And, you know, this was just the TNG universe when we decided to give away, you know, that free clothing and the hair for the Klingons and the characters and things like that. But I think, and you know, with our own anniversary last year, we gave away the free Odyssey and Bortas. So I would continue to look for things like that. We'll always look for tie-ins with, you know, like First Contact, we gave away the Phoenix shuttle. So look for more things like that to happen, you know, with fun Star Trek holidays or anniversaries and things like that. We always try and do things for the community and the fans when we can.
I did like that TNG pack, I got to admit.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially being able to see Worf in the holodeck.
Yeah, and it was a really good, whoever did Worf, it was a really good rendering.
Yeah.
So hats off to whoever did that.
Yeah, they did amazing.
So following on that theme, then, is there anything planned for Halloween or Christmas this year?
So for Halloween, we'll probably, you know, run the Hearts and Minds event again. You know, that's new and exciting for new players. I'm not sure of any plans for players that have already run that, but, you know, still got plenty of time and things may be being worked on. I'm not too aware of anything right now for Halloween. But as for the winter event, I'm pretty sure we'll be bringing that. I'm pretty sure we'll be bringing that back. He'll be opening up his shop again. We'll see. I'm not 100% sure, but I would imagine that we'll see Q return during the winter time and open back up Q's Winter Wonderland.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, that was.
Yeah.
With a influx of ships and other goods coming into the game via star bases, do you still have any plans to flesh out the Klingons?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing Dan mentioned on the panel is that we're really interested in making sure that, you know, Klingons, not only new content we put out is playable by Klingons and Federation, like everything, you know, that's come out recently, all the future episodes, but going back in and filling out, filling in those gaps, you know, making sure that Klingons start at level 1. So, you know, it's going to take time, but, you know, we're definitely wanting to do that, you know, while still making new content. So, you know, it may take time for it, but it's something we're definitely interested in.
Right. I've had a few DMs on this from Twitter and that, people asking if it's possible to introduce a way to change your traits. All too often when you get to the end, you realize that you should have had X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and I think that traits are interesting because, you know, a lot of us have been playing since closed beta or open beta, or, you know, right when the game launched. And when we look back at our traits, we're like, oh, I would have picked this one if I would have known. And, you know, that's just because your experience of getting in game and then finding bridge officers with certain traits and things like that. I think a retrait is always an option for the future. I know it definitely needs some tech, but it's not out of the question. There's just no time frame on an ETA for introducing it.
Okay, another tweet we had was wanting to know about PvP. There have been a few rumors that due to the lack of people playing, its days are numbered. Is this true?
No, it's not true. So even with Gozer leaving, who's working on PvP, what he was working on is still there and was handed off to Chris Dodds, who you might know from Alpha. He made Alpha. He made a lot of the new Starbase missions and things like that as well. So, you know, you may not see anything, you know, immediately, but it's definitely in the plans. And I forget exactly what was said, but this was brought up during the panel interview and there was a discussion about it, as well as the Ask Cryptic. So, you know, as we move into future seasons and things like that, that's when we'll start to see more on it. You know, it's PvP in the game has never been its strongest point, but it's very fun. For those who play it know how much fun PvP is, and we recognize that. We want more people to be able to play PvP. So, you know, if that means adding new rewards to PvP like fleet marks and things like that in the short term, we'd like to do that as well. So we're investigating what we can do. You know, it's definitely days are not numbered. So at this point, you know, things change from day to day, but, you know, we really like to continue with the PvP revamp that was being done.
What about running like a PvP promotion like they did with the spotlight on the Vandre?
So I'm always welcome to do that. If there's a podcast out there, or yourselves, or a fleet that would like to do, you know, like a PvP competition, you know, I'm all down for supporting it, just like we did Klingon Awareness Week. You know, it's, you know, sometimes they want to put rules in place, you know, and what ships they can be in or what powers they can't use. And that's always a little bit harder because, you know, there's no spectating tools or tools to be able to see what the player has equipped. So a lot of fleets have shied away from doing it as a big public one, but more private with people who signed up and kind of agree to do, you know, certain rules or things like that, which it makes it excludes some people. And we want definitely be inclusive if we're going to promote it. But I'm definitely down to that. If you guys are interested, or if anyone out there listening is interested, reach out for me on Twitter, and we can definitely talk about it and, you know, get something, a cool competition going and see what prizes I can help include in it.
Yeah, Klingon Awareness Week was good.
That was great. I hope they continue doing that every year. It's awesome.
That was brilliant. Even though there was some people who cheated in tournaments.
Yeah.
But that was only a few.
Yeah.
So, but overall, it was brilliant.
Getting back to Season 6 as a massive update to the game, it is relatively incident-free. What are the feelings at Cryptic in regards to the feedback they have received on Season 6 and all the other in-game improvements?
It seems like a lot of people are loving all the updates that have come with Season 6. We're getting some great feedback. We're definitely reading a lot of it. I'm compiling reports on it, passing it along. We've seen tons of things. If you look at the last, if you look at actually all the patch notes that have come out since Season 6 has been released, a lot of things in there that stem directly from player feedback. So I think the response has been great. I think that fleets are active. Everyone's loving doing their star bases. And it's been great to see. There's more people playing Star Trek Online than ever before. And it's an awesome experience to have players playing the content that everyone works so hard to bring out. And there's so much more on the way, which is so exciting. Lots to look forward to. I personally, as a player who plays every night, I can't wait. So
yeah. And Season 6 does an awful lot for team play as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we put out a great guest blog written by Commodore Bob that talked about him really venturing through Star Trek Online solo. Much camaraderie with his fellow fleet mates. And I think that's great. I think it's great to be a part of. But Season 6 also allows you to, you know, to still play solo if you're not looking for a fleet. Yeah, you're not going to be able to. You wouldn't be participating in your fleet starbase or maybe you have, maybe you're doing it by yourself. You made a fleet and then everyone left or whatever the case is. But you can still work on it all the time. There's a rush. I know that, you know, some fleets are, you know, in a rush to get to the end, but take time, enjoy it, and know there's more coming down the way. So
yeah, I love it already. Yeah. With the ongoing switch to all things being a coherent part of the Perfect World family, what can we expect in the future?
I think you can expect, you know, a lot of things. What's really nice about, you know, completing the merge and everything is, you know, the use of Zen. I know it's a little bit of a change for some people. And, you know, the first time you buy it, you maybe have to go through certain verification, but that's all done for security of the players. But what's nice is that when you've merged your account and are logging with Perfect World, you know, you can submit support tickets and, you know, all the support people work on all Perfect World games. So now you can get the same support you've expected before, but with more people helping out, which means hopefully faster replies to tickets and things like that. Same with billing. Also, there's the Zen promotions where you can get free Zen by filling out surveys if you qualify, doing trials and things like that. As well as when you buy Zen, if you buy some of the larger packages, you can get bonuses, which is really nice. So, but, you know, Perfect World also has Core Connect. There's no plans right now or nothing in the works or nothing I can really announce about Core Connect with STO. But, you know, that's there. And I know that we'd love to be able to get STO on Core Connect, which has some great features to be able to share your achievements and link up with friends and things like that. But so new and exciting things, you know, that we want to introduce. If you see the Community Hub, you see Refer a Friend coming soon, as well as Facebook Connect. Coming soon. So those things are in the works, and I hope to have them launching pretty soon. But some, you know, I think as time goes on, you're going to get to see some pretty awesome stuff that having both companies together bring each other.
So basically, from the sound of it, then, that expanding the social side of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's great, because that'll spread the word more and all.
Yep.
Will we eventually see Cryptic related branding disappear altogether?
No, Cryptic is still the development studio that is developing the games. Perfect World is a publisher. So, if you go to like, Wikipedia and look up game publisher, it gives a great explanation of what a publisher does, but Cryptic will always be developing. And then Perfect World has, developers who work on games. So some of our games are developed, by Perfect World in, Perfect World over in China. Runic develops Torchlight, Zombie develops Blacklight. You've got, forget the names, but some of the other games are developed by other studios, and then Perfect World publishes it. So you'll always see Cryptic. We work very closely together, both teams, and we're very close to each other too. We're only about 30 minutes away, so we're at each other's offices all the time. It's like one giant family.
Right. And as the transition to free to play gone as well as everyone hoped?
Yeah. I mean, the barrier to playing Star Trek Online is basically non-existent. You know, last year when I went to the Star Trek Online Star Trek Las Vegas convention, I was talking about STO. You know, a lot of people says, you know, I just find it weird. You buy a game and then you pay a monthly subscription. I'm used to you buying a game and then you have it, you beat it, and that's it. You know, so the MMO industry is very different from what a lot of Star Trek fans have come to know with PC games in the past for Star Trek, the Star Trek license. So now with STO free to play, I ran into so many players that are like, wow, I really can't wait to play it now that it's free to play. That was the biggest question we get. How can it be free to play? Do you guys do advertising and things like that? Well, you know, it's, you know, the C store's there for you to buy extras, but it doesn't even ask you to put a credit card on file when you download and log in anymore. So no. A lot of players we saw a lot of interest in Vegas, especially when they saw the game up on the projector and the television. They're like, wow, I really want to play this game. So really exciting.
Yeah, if you're getting screaming, clapping people from playing your game, that's always a positive.
Yeah.
So, well, that's it. So, anything else you want to add, Tom?
No, we've covered everything.
Yeah, awesome. And more besides.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for having me on. Keep up the great job with the show. Really enjoy listening, and I'm happy to come on anytime. So as new things are coming out, if you've got more questions, feel free to reach out. I'd be happy to rejoin you anytime.
Yeah, always a pleasure to talk to you, Brandon. So I appreciate you giving up your afternoon to come on the show.
My pleasure. Anytime. I'll talk to you both soon, and have a great one.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Brandon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Finally, we go through a transcript of ship artist Ian Jam Jams Richards, and he shares the details behind the upcoming Regent-class assault cruiser. And this is what he's wrote. When I was tasked with the creation of the refit version of the Sovereign, I knew I had to draw from the other two 2409 ships seen in Star Trek Online. The standards were set pretty high. Seeing the Venture-class refit of the Galaxy, the Thunderchild, and the Armitage refit of the Akira, among others, all of these ships had something in common, namely, stealing the idea that they are an advanced version of the original counterpart. While keeping to the basic design features, the Sovereign is already a gorgeous ship, so I knew it would not be an easy task to make it look even cooler. I took design features seen in an assortment of ships from the Defiant to the Odyssey and everything in between. Most importantly, I had to make sure it paid its dues to the Sovereign, so I kept the overall shape and size. A few key features were changed to help it make it stand out, namely the forward swept pylons and the grand arms stretching across the ship. From the front of the fort saucer section to the rear shuttle bay, the top of the hull was the ideal ground to do something to help it stand out. It's a mixture of what's seen in the Sol, Venture and the Sovereign. Creating negative space from different perspectives was vastly important to making the region what it is today. From the far side, there is no negative space between the nacelles and the hull. This is akin to the Venture class. The inward-facing windows on the rear of the semi-split hull is akin to the Odyssey and the Sol. Some details under the saucer are not only directly inspired from the Constitution, but also from the Defiant and the Intrepid. In the end, keeping familiar elements from other ships and merging them together in one glorious vessel results in the Regent. While the Sovereign will always have a special place in my heart, I am happy with the end result of the Regent. I feel that it will perform quite well as Starfleet's primary assault cruiser. Keep hailing frequencies open as more details about the Regent class will be revealed next week. So, including its release date. Now, did you look at the pictures, Tom?
I haven't managed to look at them yet. So, okay. I'll probably have a look afterwards, but by the sound of it, it looks like it's going to be pretty mean.
It is. It's an unbelievable design concept. Instantly, you see the Sovereign in it. But it, like he says, if you look at the bit underneath, and there's like a light in the middle of the saucer section, which is like the light you get under Defiance.
Yeah.
And then there's four bits coming off on the chevron, and they're like black. It's just hides and the light underneath. But I like it. I do like it.
Yeah. And if there's any chance of test driving it in Tribble.
Yeah. See, the thing is, though, is it's... I don't know. Well, it depends on how much it is and what it can do and the advantages of it. But I don't really think that, personally, I'd buy another cruiser. Because I've got the Excelsior. I've got the Constitution. And I've got the Galaxy.
Yeah, I've got the Captain Galaxy.
Yeah. And eventually you'll have the Galaxy VA. With sort of separation.
Might do, but I've got the Galaxy on my science. I don't know why I chose that in the first place.
Interesting choice. Well, you like the ship, you know. You want to fly what you like.
Yeah, yeah. I just... chose it because it was a Galaxy. Yeah. But I'm going to go for the Intrepid refit when I go science with the Blade of Armour, so...
Yeah, that is an awesome ship. Although my science is now in the Atrox carrier.
Yeah, saw your tweet about that picture earlier in Total System.
Yeah. It's... I mean... I'm fitting it out at the moment. I'm grinding Dolly from to fit it out. And it's nearly done. I just got to get one more beam weapon, and then it's sorted. And I can quite happily sit back from 15 kilometres away, sending my fighters drop my science toys on top of you, and I don't even have to engage. Especially on the NPCs.
Yeah.
So, I can't hear singing, but, you know, if I'm going to go into an SDF, then that's a different ball game, because then I'll take the Intrepid, because I need to be able to move in his. Because the Aatrox is, you know, you start turning, go away, make a cup of tea, come back, and it's still turning.
Yeah. Like we said last week.
Yeah.
You can do a brew a bottle of blood wine, and it will still turn.
Yeah. This is but yeah, it's an interesting ship, folks. It does pay homage to the Sovereign. But like I said, it depends on what it does, and it depends on the price. So we'll wait and see.
So, yeah, they might overprice things for a spritz again with the exchange rate.
No. Well, we pay tax. That's why the prices are dearer. We pay VAT. Yeah. They don't pay VAT in America. So $15 in America and £15 over here. So we actually pay about $17.50 or $18.
Yeah.
Because of the VAT. Gotta bail the banks out. But before we get political, so that's it, folks. So that's all you need to know this week from Tom about Klingon ships. Contact details are there, so if you want to contact us, you can do. And I'd like to thank Brandon for coming on and doing the interview and telling us all about Star Trek Las Vegas. And that's it.
Yeah.
So thanks very much, folks.
Thank you very much.
Required.